nations, cut off all commerce with Israel, and isolate it for the pariahs and the terrorists that they are. The extent of this is not only doing damage to Gaza and killing Palestinians in Gaza, right and left, and without care. It extends even to where my organization, the Free Palestine Movement, has been receiving requests for doctors to go to Gaza, and for medications and medical supplies to go to Gaza. And I know that many of the organizations are mobilizing for this, but the obstacle to getting these doctors and medical supplies into Gaza are Israel and Egypt, and frankly, Egypt is being controlled by Israel. So it really comes down to Israel preventing the supplies and destroying even the water resources, the very small water resources that Gaza has, and making things even more miserable than a military invasion needs to be. The only thing I can say is that more and more people, you can see it. I know it doesn't show in the news very much, and I'm very grateful. Hala, you can tell the people who complained about the news reporters. Interrupt their news reports. Do some resistance against the reporters who are telling lies to the media. Don't be polite to them. But nevertheless, occasionally we get a few things here, and the American public is actually seeing some of the horrors that are going on there, and the demonstrations are getting bigger. In a few hours, I myself am going to a demonstration in San Francisco, which I expect to be two or three times bigger than the one last week. So it's a terrible price to pay, but maybe it's helping the world to wake up.
Indeed, Professor Albasous, I'm just going to read out an excerpt from a letter that was written by a Norwegian doctor in Gaza, and he writes that he speaks of tens of maimed and bleeding, saying that we still have lakes of blood on the floor in the ER, piles of dripping blood-soaked bandages to clear out, and he goes on to say there's no electricity, water, disposables, drugs, or tables and instruments and monitors. The humanitarian crisis that's taking place, or catastrophe that's taking place in Gaza, should have seen more reaction coming from the international community by and large. The Iranian president Hassan Rouhani did criticize a lot of the international community for its disproportionate response to what's happening in Gaza. How do you judge the way the responses come in?
Of course, yes, we have a disproportionate response by the international community when it comes to the Palestinian case. What has been described by the Norwegian doctor in Gaza is a theme. We can see for the past 7 years the humanitarian crisis is going on and on. It does not stop. It by all means, is getting bigger than we can expect. The humanitarian crisis is deepening in the Gaza Strip. Shortage in everything. It's not only medical equipment. When you talk about water, the water we have in Gaza is not pure. It's not clear. It's not. We cannot drink the pure water in Gaza. It's not only water. It's electricity. We have shortage of electricity. When you talk about all equipment and necessities in Gaza, we don't have the basic needs for the past 7 years. And this is because of the Israeli siege, which was imposed on the Gaza Strip for the past 7 years. Now, upon this situation, it comes this heavy offense on the Gaza Strip, which went on for the 13th day. But today was the heaviest day. Today was the bloodiest day. When you talk about the bloodiest day, talk about many people were killed. We have more than 4,000 people who are wounded. The hospitals in Gaza cannot deal with this situation. The medical equipment are about to finish completely from the hospitals. Now, I think without having support and aid by the international community coming to the Gaza Strip, I think we're going to face a huge humanitarian crisis for the next few days, especially the Israeli occupation forces are determined to invade the whole Gaza Strip. We have seen for the past few hours some statements made by the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He called for widening the offense, or we'll call it the military operation on the Gaza Strip. This means we will see more confrontation, and we're going to see more fatalities and more casualties in Gaza Strip, meaning the hospitals will not be able to deal with this huge number of people who could be bleeding. They need some of them urgent medical treatment. Last night, the hospitals were not able to deal with the cases, like some young people were bleeding to death. Even the ambulances were not able to reach to the point in which they can collect the wounded people. It's a crisis that's a complete and a huge humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. And I don't know what would happen in the next few days if we cannot deal with this crisis here.
Indeed. Let me speak to our correspondent, Hala Safadi, who's standing by live in Gaza. Now, Hala, we saw Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu give a televised address earlier today where he vowed to continue the military operation in Gaza for as long as necessary. First of all, there are different theories as to why Netanyahu chose this specific timing to make this televised address. What can you tell us?
Well, it's obvious when looking at the timing he chose that it was an attempt to break all attempts of the reconciliation. He has he wouldn't have any excuse not to start negotiations and to end the blockade and lift the blockade on Gaza if the unity government took place in the first place. So he has always been refusing to talk to Hamas, as well as Hamas refusing to talk to them. So once we're talking about a unity government, then the game would change and they would have their own conditions. And now the terrorist group he considers are not there anymore. So I do believe that the timing was meant to be, and especially if we look at the first days, it was even the World Cup when the entire escalation started and the entire scenario of the three kidnapped people started. So as if they were trying to start this escalation while people or the international community is busy watching football rather than watching the news of people who are being killed in Gaza, or even before Gaza and the West Bank and in Hebron to be more specific. So basically the timing was a smart move from Netanyahu, followed then by an aggression on Gaza in a time where Palestinians were talking about reconciliation efforts and they actually started working on a unity government. After that, that Israel has always been afraid of Hamas power, and then them knowing that Hamas has been preparing itself for anything that might come up, and any aggression that can come up any time at any second, I think that was also something that has scared them. After that, Netanyahu has lost many of his fans in Israel, and his situation with Lieberman, he is also getting even more worse by every day. So basically, he wanted to prove himself. He was under pressure. He was under the pressure of him being not able to defend the people of Israel. So basically, he wanted to expand this operation to prove to them that he is still the man, and he still can take on the responsibility of protecting the so-called civilians of Israel. Basically, looking at the entire scenario that was done, I personally do believe that there was no one who was kidnapped. This was an entirely Israeli-made scenario. It was a false flag to start a ground operation and to put in the prison those who were released before Shalit swap deal. He invaded the West Bank. He invaded Gaza Strip as if all he wanted is a scenario or a story to take an excuse to start this operation. As also he mentioned today, Netanyahu Netanyahu stated that he is not dealing with any kind of pressure from America or from the international community, and that this operation to know where the tunnels are and to destroy
Indeed.
The tunnels, as he claims, it's going to need from 3 to 4 days to know where they are and to destroy them. So basically, he knows and he is sure that there is no pressure whatsoever at this timing, so he can keep on doing his continuing his aggression against Gaza and against West Bank at the same time.
Indeed. Mr. Larudi, I'd like to get your opinion on this as far as Netanyahu vowing to continue with the military offensive in Gaza, saying they are going to push forward and even expand it until their goals or the aims of this operation are achieved. What do you think are the aims here, specifically when we see a ground incursion which is taking place that is only resulting in civilian casualties?
There are no goals or objectives in this. In fact, if there are any, you just stated them. They want to kill as many people as possible. This is a year or two. Gideon Levy, the Israeli journalist, said it openly in one of his articles. The purpose is to kill people. They do it every 2 years, every 3 years, every year. They do this because they need to their young, new soldiers that just came from the schools in the last year or two. They need to give them experience in killing people and participating in the national hobby of genocide. And if everybody participates in it, it seems normal to them, and they continue their hating and their project. This is all part of the plan. This is also why, when Hamas puts forth the most reasonable conditions possible for a ceasefire, that no one can deny, just to end the occupation, to allow food and water and commerce to continue, and to have a 10-year truce on the basis of fishermen being allowed to go out. They're not asking even for the total freedom of Palestine in this case, which they have a right to. But they're asking to be treated like human beings, to be treated like human beings in exchange for a 10-year truce. What does that tell you? It tells you that they don't want a 10-year truce. They don't want any truce at all. They just want to kill Palestinians on a regular basis. And eventually, it's part of the project of ethnic cleansing, expelling Palestinians and taking their land. And I'm not going to say it's going to end at the Jordan River either. Or even at the Litani in Lebanon. They have a big project in mind.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm afraid we've run out of time. That was the co-founder of the Free Palestine Movement, Paul Larudi, joining us via Skype from Berkeley. Also joining us from Gaza was Professor Hani Albasous with the Islamic University of Gaza. And, of course, our correspondent, Hala Asafadi, who's standing by live in Gaza to bring us a minute-by-minute update on the situation there. I'd like to thank you all for your input here in the conversation. We're going to take a short break here on Press TV, and we'll be back with all your latest coming out of Gaza and the rest of the world. Don't go away.